We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Marika, before you go, are you heading down to Kids Church? Before you go, I was wondering if you could share something with us. Today I'm going to be sharing with you guys about the Ministry of Helps, and I was just wondering if you could tell everyone how the Lord put on your heart to take over our kids program.
Okay. All right. Okay. A little bit. I'm just trying to decide where to start. I guess I'll start kind of back when the Lord first talked to me about getting involved in Ministry of Helps with the church. I have three kids, and I had twin one-year-olds that's a lot of work, twins. So I knew that on Sundays at that time I couldn't do a ton, but I knew that during the week I had time. So I said, okay, Lord, I want to get involved, I want to help, but I don't have a lot to offer. All I have is a little bit of time. So then I contacted Pastor Jeremiah, and I found out the area they needed help. And I said, okay, this is where they need help. This is what I'm going to do. And from that, it's just been awesome. Like, the things that the Lord has done inside of me as I've stepped out, it's just been incredible. Like, really, since then, I just feel like the Lord has kind of, like, propelled me into, like, a new level that I wasn't really expecting. I just wanted to be helpful to start out with. And fast forward a bit, I've been helping for a while, and been helping in Kids Church, and I'm in Kids Church, and I just kept getting this feeling of, like, someone needs to take this over and really run with it, you know, because Pastor Jeremiah and Julia are believing for big things, and they can't do it all by themselves, and, you know, they've got upstairs under control, you know, you're preaching and bringing things to the next level, and the anointing is here. And I said, you know, someone needs to do that downstairs. Like, someone needs to get the kids, and they just need to run with vision, because kids are so important. Kids are, you know, the next generation. And so often they kind of get looked over, but, like, you can impact their lives at such a young age, and then it would be forever changed, you know. There's a saying that goes, it's easier to train kids than fix adults. So I'm like, you know, someone needs to do this. And the more I kept thinking about it, the more I was like, I need to do this. Like, it just clicked one day of, like, that there is this, like, passion and this desire that was, like, stirring in me. And it was not for someone, it was for me to do it, that, like, the Lord was showing me the impact that these kids could have and how someone needs to take the responsibility for them and to just run with it. So I just was like, well, I don't know. You know, I kept thinking of all these excuses of like, reasons why I shouldn't do it, or reasons, all of these different reasons. And I just, like, prayed about it. And I was like, okay, Lord, if I'm going to do this, I need to know that it's from you. I don't want to just take this over and then not do a good job, or take this over and, you know, it not be what I'm supposed to do. Like, I want to do what you have me to do, and I want to be helpful. And I just couldn't shake the feeling. It was just like, no, this is inside of you. You need to do it. And so then I talked to Pastor Jeremiah and Julia, and I said, listen, you know, the Lord's been talking to me. They were like, go for it. You know, I got full blessing from them. And the second I stepped out, it was just amazing. Like, it was the next day after I talked to them, I just got all these ideas. They just, like, flooded me, like, all day long. I had a pen and paper, and I just started writing them down. And I was just like, I know this is the Lord, because there's no way that I could just, like, come up with all this all at once. So I just started writing down whatever the Lord was telling. And just, like, it was just amazing, because I didn't know what I was going to do. I was like, I don't know if there's a program, I don't know what. And then the Lord just gave, like, clear vision of do this. And so we did it, and we've started. And the kids, I mean, it's just incredible. Like, I just get blessed being down there, because I started just with little changes, but the kids have just received it. And it's just, like, so encouraging to me. Like, the first Sunday we were down, or not, maybe not the first Sunday, but, like, two kids, they started just asking questions and then ended up giving their heart to Jesus. And it was just like the Holy Spirit was just there. And it was, like, nothing that I planned, but just, like, I mean, you would think, like, it's just Kids Church, but the Holy Spirit is there just as much as he is up here. and they've got questions. And so it may be a different flow, but it's still ministry in the sense of they have questions. And I'm just so thankful that I get to answer some of those questions and get to be the one to lead them to the Lord and it's been awesome. I mean, last week we did a review game and they answered every single question correctly. They were like hands going up. Everyone knew. And it just was like, wow, they're like getting it. They're grasping it. And it just was like, it was just so encouraging to me because I was like, man, you know, I stepped out and I wasn't sure if I could do it or how it was going to go or if the kids would even like it. And they're excited and I'm excited. It's just like when the Lord calls you to do something and you're just obedient and you just do it and you step out, it's just like the best thing because he's just there. Like, it's funny, like in the smallest things, like one week I was like, oh, I think I need cookies for this Sunday. And three different people gave cookies that Sunday. And it was just like, it's just like a little thing just to show that the Lord's hand is on it and that like, you know, that we're doing what's right. Because Pastor Jeremiah and Julia can't be down at kids' church because they're up here. And they can't be prepping kids' church because they're prepping up here. So just as a way to like go next to them and help them and encourage them, it's just been awesome for me. And I know there's lots of different areas. I can't do all the other areas. So wherever the Lord's calling you, you should plug in.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you, Marika. Man, what an awesome testimony. But, you know, we were actually probably since Brian and Marika started coming, Julie and I, like, we had our eye on Marika. Like, man, she would be perfect for kids' church. But we didn't want to pressure her. We wanted to, you know, have it be her decision. We, you know, brought it up a couple times, but, you know, never said, we need you to do this or anything. And so we just prayed about it, and we're like, Lord, we know that you have somebody that's going to take this over, and they're going to have a heart for kids' church, you know. We want someone down there that actually has a passion, not just to entertain kids, but to actually minister to the kids. And that's exactly what Marika's doing. And it's just so awesome to see how God answered our prayer. And then when she stepped up and did that, the Lord has just been blessing her. And so we're just so thankful for that, Marika. And what an awesome testimony. So praise God. Well, I'm going to ask the ushers if they would pass out the communion. And while they're doing that, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 23. And then we'll take communion this morning. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, communion, when we do this, when we take this morning, this isn't something that we just do lightly. It's not just a church tradition. It's not just like the Christian adult version of snack time. You know, we actually do this because it symbolizes everything that Jesus did for us. You know, we wouldn't have salvation in Jesus if he hadn't gone to the cross and died for us. When he did that, his blood was shed for us. When he did that, his body was beaten for us. The blood was shed so that we could have remission of sins. Forgiveness of sins. And his body was beaten and bruised in order that we could receive physical healing in our body. So when we do this, there's actually no physical healing in this little wafer. Actually, there's probably little of anything in this. I don't think there's like any nutritional value in these, okay? So there's no healing inside of this wafer. But what it symbolizes contains all the power to heal your physical body from whatever is trying to come against you. You see, it's not the actual eating of this bread that brings the healing, but it's the revelation of what Jesus has done for us. And when we realize that Jesus died for us, he was beaten for us. He took 39 stripes across his back. His blood was shed for us and spilled for us willingly. He was a willing sacrifice. So it's the revelation of what he has done for us that when we go to take communion, that's how we are able to receive forgiveness of sins. That's how we're able to receive our physical healing. So when we do this, don't just take this lightly. This isn't just another thing to do, you know, once a month or every week or however often you take it. Smith Wigglesworth used to have communion every morning. So there's no limit as to how often we can do it. We do it at least once a month just so we don't forget to do it. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking this every morning. Because when we do it, we're proclaiming the Lord's death until we come, and until he comes. And that sounds a little bit like proclaiming defeat. Usually death isn't associated with victory. But when Jesus died for us, he also rose for us. So when we're proclaiming his death, we're proclaiming his victory. That he was the sacrifice for us so that we would no longer have to pay the penalty of sin, which is guilt and shame and sickness and all the other effects of the curse. So when we take this morning, let's do this and receive the revelation of physical healing in our body and that he shed his blood for us to receive forgiveness of sins. So he says there in verse 24, he took, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for shedding your blood for us. Thank you for taking those stripes for us so that we don't have to be sick, so that we don't have to live in sin. Hallelujah. Well, as I already said that I'm going to be sharing to you this morning about the ministry of helps. This month I'm taking to talk about being in ministry, and whether you know it or not, you all, every single one of you this morning, are called to be in ministry. It might not be full-time ministry, five-fold ministry, but you are called to be in ministry to some capacity, and this month we're going to be talking about that. So, how many of you are here today? Praise the Lord. Most of you are with us. I'm glad that you joined us this morning. I'm telling you that today is going to be an awesome day for you, all right? Now, I believe that we have in this room people, that this room is full of people that God wants to use to do extraordinary things with. And as Marika was sharing during the announcements about our past Wednesday night message, if you weren't here, you really should listen to that, because it really is so true that God has destined each and every single one of us to do something great in our lives. Now, greatness to you might be different than it is for me. So we have to figure it out, what exactly it is that God has called us to do, what he's called me to do specifically. But so I seriously mean that when I say that I believe that God wants to use every single one of you to do something extraordinary with your life. And I'm not just saying that to be nice. I'm saying that because of the fact that you are in this church this morning. That proves it, the fact that you're here in this church. Because honestly, you could go around the area here and find any number of churches that have a really nice modern facility with really nice comfy chairs, with really, you know, fantastic display of whatever they're displaying, the fog machine, the lights, and all of that. You could find a church that has, you know, not the mustard carpets. You could find a church that has, you know, their kids program has like 10 ping pong tables and pool tables and TVs and all the electronic gadgets. You could find churches that have all these wonderful things. And I hope that you're not opposed to those wonderful things, because soon we will have all those too. But for the meantime, as we don't have those things, to me it says something that you choose willingly to be here today. So the fact that you are here today before we have any of those wonderful things tells me something about you guys. That you are willing to go somewhere, not just because of the nice building, not just because of the nice extras and the things. You know, you come here because of what God is doing in your life and because of the message that you'll receive here. You become because you're hungry for Jesus, not just because you want to be in a nice church building or in a quick church service. You know, you can find any number of churches in the area here that will preach a message that is not confrontational. They won't talk about sin. They won't talk about praying in tongues. They won't talk about prosperity and finances. They won't talk about all the things that modern church growth experts say that you shouldn't talk about in church. You can do that. You can go and find any number of churches that will get you in by 10 and out by 11. You know, you can do that. And, you know, you'll be able to live your life exactly the way that you'll want to live it without ever feeling like you should change. You can live just comfortably. You can live in sin in many churches today in America and never feel like, man, I just feel like I need to change. Now, I'm not talking about a judgmental type of condemnation where I'm just sitting here. You can go and watch on YouTube. It's really hilarious, this preacher that goes around and he just starts calling out members of his congregation. I mean, it's funny, but it's actually sad. But I laugh because of how ridiculous it is, where he's calling them out and telling them how bad they've screwed up and the areas that their shortcomings. And it's just actually really awful. But I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about when you come here, and just by being in the presence of the Lord, when you come here and you hear the message of God's word go forth, it does something here in your heart. You know, because I can't force anyone to change. I can't force anyone to give up sin. I would love to, but it doesn't work like that. I'm not the mafia. So I can't force you guys to do anything, but what I can do is I can preach the gospel message, and when that gospel message goes forth, it resonates in your heart, and the Holy Spirit is the one that brings conviction and says, there's a better way to live. And that when you lay something down, when you lay an area of your life down, sin that's trying to stop you and grip a hold of your life, and when you give that up, man, you'll find that God has something so much better on the other side. Hallelujah. And so, but as I was saying, you can find any number of churches in the area that aren't going to preach a message like that. I don't even know what some people talk about. Like, they just talk about the news or different things that are going on. Nothing that's actually going to change people. You know, my goal in ministry is to see people's lives get radically changed by the presence of Jesus and by the instruction of God's word. Because that's what happened to me in my life. When I was 14, had an encounter with God that changed my life forever, that I'll never go back from. And I know that as much as God did that for me and in my life, He wants to do that in you, in your life, your family's life, your friend's life, your colleague's life. And so if I can get you guys to just get hungry enough to receive the touch from heaven that you need, then you're going to begin to receive from God all that He has from you. And that's going to begin to then overflow onto those people around you. So my goal isn't to get you in by 10, out by 11, sing three hymns, three hers, take up the offertory, and whatever they do, preach from the Encyclopedia Britannica. You know, these are things that my pastor from Tampa, Florida says, like, all the time, and I never realized, like, how much I was actually listening to him until I get up here, and these things that I've just heard him say over and over just start coming up out of me. You know, he says that all the time. But that's actually true, how a lot of, you know, people in the ministry actually have companies that they pay to write them their sermons for them. I want to make you guys a promise. I will never pay anyone to write a sermon for me, all right? Every week, I'm digging into God's word, trying to figure out, God, what is it that you want to say to your people? And I could just come up with any sort of creative message that I want to. You know, this week, I spent Friday, Saturday, and from 4 o'clock this morning preparing this message. Not because I couldn't pick a message, but because I was trying to figure out exactly what God wanted to say to you guys today. And I don't want to just preach a message because it's nice or because it's going to encourage you, so on and so forth. I want it to be a message that is inspired from the Holy Spirit. Because when Paul preached, when Peter preached, when the early church preachers preached, they didn't just do it with eloquent words to sound good. They did it with the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. And as the word is preached, Jesus says that He will confirm the word with signs following. But as long as I'm just trying to, you know, dissect the word and just come up with a new crafty revelation of God's word or just using my mind to do it, it's never going to contain the power, the raw power of the gospel that it's meant to. It has to be a message that comes from my heart, and I receive that directly from the Holy Ghost. And I refuse to just, you know, open up and just be like, all right, God, you know, I'll just preach about this because it's the first book I turn to or whatever. No, I want to dig in and find out what God's word is. And you might be thinking, well, you know, we have this 12-month plan. I actually have every month planned out this year for each month what we'll be preaching on every topic. And you might say, well, that doesn't seem like you're digging in every week for it. You already got it all planned out. I dug in November to figure out that that's what God wanted me to do for this year, to take these 12 different topics to preach them, because by the time, I mean, how many of you guys have been blessed by these monthly topics that we've been doing? I mean, if no one else has been blessed, I've been blessed, because it's really causing me to dig in and find out these foundational pillars in our life and how we can apply them to our lives. And I don't ever want to preach a message that just is nice to hear. I want it to be something that you guys can take, that I can take, and then apply it in my life to see change. Because if I'm not seeing change in my life, then that's not going to be productive. If I'm not seeing change in your guys' lives, then that's not going to be productive. The Bible says that we should be changed from glory to glory. We should be going further in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. You see, we are to forcefully advance the kingdom of heaven. And that doesn't come just by taking a lazy attitude towards the ministry. Amen? Don't know how I got off on that, but I believe it was good, hopefully for someone here this morning. So, like I said, you can find any number of churches that won't preach a confrontational message. They won't talk about tongues. They won't lay hands on the sick. They're not going to tell you about sin. They're not going to tell you that you need to get right with God. They're not even going to give you an opportunity to publicly declare Jesus as your Lord and Savior in church. I love this expression that I heard, that camouflage altar calls make camouflage Christians. You know, all right, you know, everybody, let's all just say the prayer so that nobody knows that you actually need salvation. You know, Jesus said that if you won't publicly declare me before men, I won't declare you before my Father. We shouldn't be ashamed to get up in church and walk up front and say, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior, I give you my everything. You shouldn't be ashamed of that. And anyone in church that actually is a believer, man, they're just so excited for you. Like, you don't have to be scared about what people are thinking. If they're real, genuine Christians, they're thinking, man, that guy just made the best decision that he ever made. That lady, she just received the most amazing miracle that she'll ever receive in her life. To get right with God. Amen? So we do preach the full gospel message of Jesus Christ. Everything that he says that we can have, I want to have that. And I want you guys to have that. Man, I want to be blessed. I want to be so blessed that it makes sinners mad at me that I'm that blessed. And I want the same thing for you guys. I want people to get upset with you because you're so blessed. That sinners out there are going to wonder, how is it that they're so successful? Man, I thought Christians are meant to be poor, but that guy's driving a brand new car. Man, I thought Christians, they're supposed to be humble, but that lady, she just bought a brand new house. You guys should be blessed. And I'm praying for you guys week after week that you will be blessed. Amen? Man, something's got me worked up this morning. Hope you brought your shouting pants. So, but you're not in a church like that. You chose to be here this morning. Right? Was anybody here forced to be here this morning? If you are, I apologize. You know, I do tell our people here to compel people to come to church. But so if you're forced to be here, I'm sorry. But I don't think that anyone was forced to be here, but rather that you chose to be here. You know, even if someone had to drag you here, you still chose to let them drag you. Sort of. I don't know how that works, but... And I know why you chose to be here in this church of all places. It's because you want something real. You know, one of the people that I look up to the most in ministry, besides Pastor Rodney, is our friend, brother, evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth. And his meetings surprise me almost every time I'm there, because he preaches these hard messages where, like, you would think that any sinner in the building would just want to get up and run out of the building. But he preaches so real. It's a real message to him that it's not coming off as just fake like some ministers do. But when he preaches it, it brings conviction from the Holy Spirit. And people then, they rush to the altar to get saved, to get healed, to whatever it is that he's preaching on. And so people aren't looking for something fake or something that just sounds nice. They're looking for a real message that can change my life today. Something that's really going to do something for me. Because if you just come to church on Sunday just to fulfill your religious duty, well, then you're just wasting about 2 hours of your week or day every time you go. You have to come to church with an expectancy. God, what do you have for me today? Because he has something for you every single day. So you want something real. You don't want to play religious games. You're not going to this church to fulfill your religious duty. And if you did, if you came this morning just to fulfill your religious duty, two things will either happen. You're either going to walk out before the service ends, or you'll walk out after the service ends and you'll never come back. Or, well, actually three things, which I pray is the third, is that you actually have an encounter with Jesus and that your life gets radically changed and you realize that church isn't just a bunch of religious garbage. You know, I've been to churches where they have religious garbage and it's unfortunate. And you can meet people all around the area that refuse to go to church because they grew up in a church that really was just dead, dry religion. You know, I'm not trying to be harsh to them, but Jesus even called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs, right? Bunch of dead men with dried up bones and all these other insults that he had. You brood of vipers. You know, Jesus wasn't friendly to religious people. He was friendly to sinners and to people that needed him, but he wasn't necessarily just going up to religious people and giving them a free pass. No, he confronted them. And so I'm not trying to like be harsh against other churches. Man, we pray for other churches in this area that they would get on fire. But if you're not preaching the real deal, if you're not preaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ, that you need to get saved, that you can be healed, that you need faith, that you should be in God's word, man, you're doing something wrong and you're cutting a blessing out of your people's lives. And I don't ever want to do that because I'll be held responsible when I die and go to heaven, or if Jesus comes back before that, I'm going to be held responsible for the messages that I preach here to you people. And I don't want to get to heaven and find out that I shortchanged you guys, that I didn't preach everything to the best of my ability that I could have. So you come to this church because you desire to be part of something, a movement that will bring a change to this region. Amen. I believe that about every single one of you guys, that you're not just here because it's Sunday and it's the religious thing to do to go to church. I believe that God has stirred something on the inside of you that you're saying, man, I want to be part of a church that is doing something that's going to change this region, that's actually preaching the gospel, that is seeing people, that signs, wonders, miracles following, that's going out praying for the sick, going out praying with people to receive salvation. Amen. I believe that's every single one of you. You guys here today. You guys really came here because you want something real. Amen? Hallelujah. And you desire to be used by God to do something big for God's kingdom. Isn't that right? Doesn't everyone here this morning desire to actually be used by God and to do something big for his kingdom? And even if you don't really know what that looks like yet, you still desire to be used by the Lord. And whether you know it or not, these things are true. At least I believe that they are. Because if they weren't, I don't think you would be here this morning. You'd be in a different church, one regardless of how you live, they're just going to tell you that you're doing great and you're doing fine and everything's okay. God loves you, which God always does love you. But if you're in a mess, you don't need to be told that everything's okay. You need some instruction and some help to get yourself out of the mess. Amen? And I believe that you guys are here because you're determined to make a difference. And I am determined to see that come to pass. You see, I want to see this church, this group of believers, you guys, be the most radical, on fire for God church in this area. That when people talk about the River Church, they say those people are the real deal. They might not agree with our message, but they know that we're not fake. Because fakeness isn't going to help anyone. And we're not just going to settle for what's comfortable. Amen? I'm preaching a little bit to myself here this morning, so I'm glad that you guys are agreeing with me. So, I preach to challenge you guys every week, and that we'll grow continually, and that we allow God to use us, that he'll increase our abilities for him to be able to use us to reach this world with the gospel message. That we will all find the specific calling that he has for each one of us. Because there is a specific calling for each one of us. Now, in order for my vision for this church to succeed, this local group of believers to succeed, I need you guys to succeed. Amen? So this isn't just about Pastor Jeremiah. This isn't about me being a one-man show. It's about me raising up leaders in the body of Christ. I want to see all of you guys so successful that you become leaders in the area that God has called you to be in. Just like Marika was just sharing about how she, once she found the area that God had called her to be in, I mean, didn't you see the anointing just touching her? That's how you know something's real, that when you just begin to talk about it. And she's talking about kids' church. I know a lot of people that'll try and avoid kids' church. You know, they feel like, oh man, I've spent my whole life doing this, you know, whatever. But so some people will avoid it, but it's because you have to do what God has called you to do specifically. And each and every single one of you have a specific calling. So if you're feeling that I want to avoid kids, well, then God has something different for you to do. God might have a different ministry opportunity for you to do. So we need to figure out, Lord, what is it that you have for me? And then he is going to use you and bless you in that area. Amen. And sometimes you fill a shoe that you don't really want to, but you just do it for a time and God will promote you as you're faithful in that. So this morning, I'm going to show you how that begins to happen in your life and how God wants us to succeed and how that begins to take place in your life. I'm going to show you that God has bigger plans for you than you have for you. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to look at a few examples from the Bible. I don't know how many I'll be able to get to, but I have a bunch. And I'm just going to try and get through as many as I can in the time that I have left. So let's start with number one. I want to talk about Barnabas. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. Now I'm going to read a few scriptures about Barnabas. And as I go through them, I just want to point out some key things about his life. I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon preached about Barnabas, but that's what I'm going to do this morning. So Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, this here is the first mention that we have of the man named Barnabas. Acts 4:36, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So this is the first time that we have mention of him. So we know that at this point, he has become a member of the church. And not just a member, but someone that's actually actively pursuing God's call on their life and actually trying to move forward and advance that local body and advance the kingdom of God. Now, the year that this scripture, that this chapter of the Bible took place is the year 30 AD. Now, I'm going to read a few other scriptures to you guys about him, and I'm going to give you the time frame of his life because I think that sometimes we overlook simple details like the time frame that things happened in people's lives. Like you can read Acts chapter 4 and skip to Acts chapter 9 and 11 and so on, and you might not realize the time frame that things are happening in these different people's lives. So this is the first mention that we have of him, and we see that, number one, he's a generous man. I mean, he sold land and then brought the money and took it and laid it at the apostles' feet. You know, to be able to do that, to go out and sell possessions that you have and bring it to the church, that shows that you have a generous heart. And I believe that anyone that's affected by the gospel message, that their wallet will also at some point be affected, because Jesus said that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So man, let me tell you, if I absolutely love my wife, which I do, her life is going to impact my wallet, and I promise you it has. My wife loves to shop, and I love my wife, so I let her go shopping. On a budget, of course. But so when we were first dating, man, it didn't matter what she wanted. If she wanted it, I'm going to take her there, I'm going to buy her that. And as much as possible, I still like to do the same thing today. So where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if you love Jesus with all your heart, you love his kingdom, well then at some point your wallet is going to be affected to do that. And that's exactly what we see here in Barnabas' life. The first mention that we have of him is that he's selling property to bring it to him. And I believe, you know, it doesn't say later on that this is the same Barnabas, but it never mentions a different Barnabas. So you'll see that this is the same one throughout it. Let's look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. and verse 27. Acts 9, 26, 27. Now remember that last scripture was in the year 30 AD. Acts 9, 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. And rightfully so, because Paul just had Stephen stoned to death. And he was persecuting Christians. So if you just heard, I mean, if you're in a country where someone's, where the Christian church is being persecuted, and you hear that this guy is going around killing people, killing Christians, you wouldn't just be excited to let him walk into your church. So of course these people were afraid of him. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now the year is 34 AD. It's 4 years later from our first mention of Barnabas. So what was Barnabas doing for these past 4 years? I mean, what was he doing this whole time? He must have been helping in the church, right? How would I know that? Because otherwise the apostles wouldn't have really trusted him to bring this guy named Saul. Saul, we know, goes on to write two-thirds of the New Testament, that he has a worldwide ministry, he establishes churches all over the world, but at this point, no one really knew who he was. At this point, the only thing people knew about him was that he was persecuting the church. And so when he comes to Jerusalem, he actually wants to come talk to the apostles and spend some time with them and fellowship from them and I'm sure learn from them. But what happens is that none of the people in the church actually want to talk to him. But Barnabas is bold. And I believe that if you're going to deal with a person like Saul, that you needed to be led by the Holy Ghost to go and say, you know what, I'm going to go talk to this guy and hear him out. And so he does, and he brings him to the apostles. And like I said, in order for the apostles to actually receive Barnabas and Saul, they must have trusted him to some degree, right? You guys can see that, correct? So that must mean that he had been active in the church in Jerusalem in order to have the apostles trusting him. So, when Paul got to Jerusalem, the first thing, and at this time he was Saul, that it was Barnabas that actually brought him and helped him when the other believers wouldn't. None of the other believers helped Saul, but Barnabas was willing to help him. So, Acts chapter 11 and verse 22. This is our next mention of him. Acts chapter 11, 22. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with the purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Now this, when this happens, it's the year 42 AD. It's 8 years since our last mention of Barnabas. So at first, we hear of him in AD 30, then we hear of him 4 years later helping Saul, and now it's 8 years later since the last time that we'd heard of him. So as far as we know, this is the first time that Barnabas has gone out to do ministry. Think about that. That this is now the year 42 AD, the first time that we heard of him was 30. That means it's how many years? Is anyone good at math out there? 12. Very good. So 12 years from the time that we know Barnabas started attending church to the time that he first went out to do some sort of ministry work. It doesn't even say that he was in the fivefold ministry yet, but that he was just going to inspect these other churches that had been springing up. And it says that as he encouraged them, it doesn't even say that he was prophesying to them or laying hands on the sick. It just says that he went and encouraged him, but it says that he was a good man who was full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. And when you have a good man that's full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith, when they start to encourage people, it's going to be a blessing. And you see here that it says a great many people were added to the church. This guy, as far as we know, is not even in the ministry yet. And yet he's adding people to the church, adding people to the Lord because he was a believer that was full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. How many of you guys are full of the Holy Ghost? How many of you guys are full of faith? Man, then we should be doing what Barnabas did. It doesn't even mean that you have to enter into full-time ministry where you have to quit your job in order to go and do something for God. Man, God should just be using you already. And that's why we have these meetings and the conferences that we do, to come and get filled up and equipped and trained for the ministry. Because that's what the fivefold ministry is meant to do. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says that the reason for ministers being in the ministry is for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. And if you were here Wednesday night, I was saying that the work of the ministry isn't helping your neighbor old lady take her trash out. Even though that's nice and I encourage you to do it, that's not the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is sharing the good news of the gospel with people, is going up and praying for sick people and seeing them get healed. Amen? So for 12 years, Barnabas must have been serving in the church at Jerusalem. Think about that. 12 years serving in the church at Jerusalem. And now he was sent out from the church of Jerusalem. And let me tell you, in order to be sent out by a church like Barnabas was, he must have proved himself faithful. The Bible says that promotion comes from the Lord. And so we know that Barnabas must have been serving the Lord very well at that church, doing what the ministry there was asking him to do and being faithful in it, because they wouldn't have just sent out anybody. They were very specific with the people that they chose. You can see that in Acts chapter 6 when they chose their helps ministry. They had specific requirements for people to go into the helps ministry, and here he is going out for them. So when he administered to them, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Now, you might be here today and have no indication of what God specifically wants you to do. You might be here today and you might have no idea that God actually has a ministry for you to do. Because Barnabas, he was just a guy helping in the local church. But he was surrounded by the apostles. I mean, imagine that, spending time around Peter, where as he's walking down the street, people are laying people out on the road so that his shadow would come across them in order for them to get healed. I mean, that's going to leave quite an impression on you. They were there being able to hear the apostles, the 12 disciples there preaching on a regular basis. And that is going to build you up. And so when you get around Holy Ghost-filled people and Holy Ghost preaching, it stirs you up on the inside so much so that you just can't contain yourself anymore and you have to go out and tell somebody about it. Hallelujah. So he's there seeing all these miracles happen in the local church, and I bet he was thinking to himself, well, when is God going to use me? And this was his first opportunity to do so. So when he went out and ministered full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith, a whole bunch of people got saved. And you might be here today and just want to be used in the helps ministry, which is no problem. You might be thinking, man, if I could just, you know, take care of cleaning, if I could just sing, if I could just do the soundboard, if I could do the kids' church, whatever. You might be thinking that that's the only thing that you would want to do in the ministry, because you would be intimidated to do more. And that's fine, because look how long it took Barnabas to get to the place of where he was actually going out and ministering to people. 12 years so far. It was 12 years from the time that we first heard about him until this time where he went out and ministering. And when you're in the ministry of helps, when you're helping the ministry in some way, I'm not just talking about Sunday morning, but it's on your heart to see a ministry go forward, and you attach your faith and your belief and your prayers and you're helping that ministry go forward, man, I'm telling you, God is going to bless you, and he's actually in that time period molding you and shaping you to do something great for his kingdom. It's in the times where you might feel like, man, I'm just cleaning, I'm just teaching kids, I'm just singing, that you can allow God to work on the inside of you to get your heart right towards God, to have a genuine desire to see his kingdom built, because that's ultimately what it's about. It's not about man's kingdom. It's not about just Pastor Jeremiah and his church. Man, my vision is for God's kingdom to expand, for more people to get saved, for more people to get filled with the Holy Spirit, for more people to get healed and touched by the presence of God. It's about his kingdom. And so as you're in the ministry of helps, this isn't just some sort of mundane thing that we're just asking you to do because we need helpers. This is an opportunity for you to be trained in the things of God. And you might not even feel like you want to go into the ministry. And you might never go into ministry full time, and that's totally fine. But God has a specific calling for you to do, both in this local body and also out in the world. It could even be business or a career. But God has a specific plan to use you. And as you're in the ministry of helps, He is molding you and shaping you into a vessel that He can use. Now, go down with me to verse 25. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So this, like I said, is 8 years after Barnabas had seen Saul last. The last time he saw Saul was when he came to Jerusalem, and he was just there for, I believe it was 14 days before he left. And then, so he had only spent a little bit of time with him, and then hadn't seen him for 8 years, and as he's out doing the work of the ministry, he remembers Saul. So Saul must have had a really big impact on Barnabas' life in such a short amount of time, that 8 years later, when Barnabas goes out there, he's thinking, man, I need help, and I need somebody to train me, somebody to help me that's already further along than I am. So what does he do? He goes and he seeks out Saul. He goes to Tarsus, and he finds Saul. So God was already using Barnabas at this point. He'd been in the church for 12 years, seeing miracles happening, seeing the apostles preaching, hearing them preach. God was already using him. He was, because he was full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith, and people were being added to the church because of him. So he wasn't just a beginner, and yet he knew that he wasn't ready to be on his own yet, that he needed somebody to train him. So 8 years after meeting Saul, like I said, he remembered that this man had such an impact on my life that I'm going to go and get him. Now, something that's interesting about Saul at this point is we didn't hear anything about his life for those 8 years. Because after Saul left Jerusalem, he went to Tarsus, and it is never mentioned in the Bible what Saul was doing there in Tarsus. Not until Barnabas was led by the Lord to go there and to get him. So he goes and brings him there, and I believe that God used Barnabas to bring Saul to Antioch so that he could be brought, so that he could bring him into the fullness of his ministry. That God specifically used Barnabas to help another minister, Saul, get started on what God had actually called him to do. So just like Barnabas sought after Saul, we need to seek somebody out that God will use to help raise us into what He's called us to be. God uses people to help mold us and shape us. You'll never reach the full capacity of your calling without being connected to a church or a ministry. And you'll never move until the fullness of what God has for you. We have to stay connected to the body of Christ. You know, I went to Bible school in Tampa, Florida, and I'm still connected with Pastor Rodney. I can text him at any point and talk to him and say, hey, this is what's going on. And he at any point can text me or call me or come see me if he wants to and tell me things that I should be doing in my life. And I will then take that and run with it, because I know that he's way further along than I am. And so I have somebody that's in my life, and just as I do, and just as Barnabas did, as he sought someone out, we need to seek someone out and say, hey, you're further along in an area that I want to be. I want you to help me. But it took Barnabas actually seeking out Saul. So sometimes God will put on your heart that there's somebody in your life that you know, maybe it was 8 years ago like it was for Barnabas, someone that God wants to use to help mold you and shape you into who He's created you to be. And we need to be open to hear that. Amen? Because God doesn't use loner Christians, people that are just out on their own, not connected with anybody. You know, you find people that say, well, I just watch church at home. I watch church on TV. I don't have a local church. Those people, unfortunately, are never impacting other people. Christianity is not a selfish religion. Christianity is about receiving from the Lord so that we can then give out what we've received. Freely you have received, freely give. And so as long as you're just trying to be about you and sitting at home watching Christian television and not being part of a local body, well, then you're actually not allowing God to really work in your life. So, next thing we see is Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers there. Now, look who it lists as number one. There were certain prophets and teachers there. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up from with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So you see that these ministers were seeking God. They were fasting. They were looking to the Lord for supernatural direction, and that's exactly what they got when he said, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul," and sent them to do this ministry. Now, this is the year 48 AD, which is 18 years after Barnabas had been in church. Up till this point, we've never even seen that Barnabas was called a minister, right? I mean, God used him, but up till now, he never had actually officially been in the ministry according to the scriptures. Even though God was using him there, this is the first time that it mentions him where it says that there were prophets and teachers and it lists Barnabas among them. So Barnabas, among those people, was there for 18 years serving in the church before he had actually been recognized as a full-time minister. 18 years. I mean, that's quite a while, right? Our church hasn't even been around for 3 years. So sometimes when I think about that, it brings me to reality of sometimes the things that God can do in your life over time. I mean, for 4 years, he was just serving in the church. Then he meets Saul. And it wasn't for another 8 years that he first went out to go out and be used by the Lord. But it wasn't until 18 years that he was recognized as a minister. So you might be wondering, man, God, when are you going to use me? God, I want to be used by you. I want you to speak to me and give me your plan. But in the meantime, be faithful with where he's called you to be. Be faithful to operate in the ministry of helps in the local body. You might just think that you're just running a soundboard, that you're just changing a diaper, that you're just cleaning the toilet, that you're just serving food. But God is preparing you for something greater. Because God doesn't have sideline Christians. He wants everybody active in the ministry. For 18 years, I couldn't get over that when I actually realized how long it had been until Barnabas was listed as a teacher or a prophet. One or the other. It says there was preachers and prophets and he was one of them. So you have to stay faithful with what God has called you to do and where he has called you to be. Though you might not know exactly what it is yet that he's called you to be, God will do incredible things through you if you allow him to mold you and shape you. Amen? So 14 years after Saul had his Damascus Road experience, he now was receiving instructions for the ministry that God had really called him to do. So obviously God had been using Paul since then. Paul was used right away to preach in Damascus. And then he used him to go to preach in Tarsus, and he was preaching in Jerusalem. So God had started his ministry, or he had been started in the ministry full time right away, but he didn't operate in the perfect plan that God had for him until 14 years after his experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Because what was Paul really called to do? To travel as a missionary, an apostle, and establish the church all around the world, right? Paul took 3 missionary journeys where he was constantly traveling to different parts of the world where people had never heard the gospel before. He would go and he would preach and establish a church, turn it over to a leader there, and then move on to the next place. That's what God had called him to do, and yet for 14 years, that's not what he was doing. You know, we don't even know what he did for 8 years up until Barnabas came and got him. Or actually, we don't know what he did for most of the beginning of his ministry. But when Barnabas went and got him, and he came to Antioch, which is where he was supposed to be, then God spoke to them and gave them specific instructions to send Barnabas and Paul and go do this. So you might be doing something in the ministry for quite a while before you receive the specific exact instructions of what you're supposed to do, but the Bible says to not grow weary with well-doing. So you might not know yet exactly what your life is meant to look like, exactly what you're supposed to do, but as you take a step of faith and say, I want to be used by God to some degree, I'm going to fill in this need in the church, or I'm going to do this thing for the body of Christ, you'll see that God will come with his hand of blessing and begin to take that. He'll acknowledge your step of faith and then lead you and guide you and direct you into the direction that he actually wants you to go. If Paul had just, after the Damascus Road experience, just sat around waiting for the Lord to just tell him exactly what to do and where to go, it probably wouldn't have happened. But by taking a step of faith, by taking action and moving forward with the plan of God, he began to actually use him in what he wanted him to do. So Barnabas went with Paul on his first missionary journey, and God used them together to start churches and spread the gospel message around the world. I mean, entire regions and cities were impacted by the gospel message of Jesus because of those two working together. And how did this start? It started with Barnabas, who was just a man serving in the church and helped a man named Saul, who every other believer didn't even want to talk to. I mean, Barnabas was there as Paul's ministry was taking off, as he was the one that actually got Paul to meet the original apostles, the 12 apostles. He's the one that was able to say, I introduced you to these men because I wasn't scared of you. But he was actually used to help him start his ministry. And because he allowed God to use him to help Saul's ministry, then God eventually established his ministry. And I'm not here to say that all of you are meant to be in full-time ministry. Absolutely not. But God has a full-time plan for you to do something. And as you help out another man's vision, as you help out another church's vision, you'll see that God will then work to bring your vision to pass. Amen? So it was nearly 20 years before Barnabas was named as a fivefold minister. And God has a specific plan for each and every single one of us. Every one of us. You know, if you're not convinced that God has a plan for you, I'm going to read just a couple more scriptures as I begin to close. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ, of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. So who is he writing to? He's writing to the saints in Ephesus, to all the Christians there, right? He's not just writing to fivefold ministers, correct? So then skip over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. So he's writing to the entire church, and he's saying, he's instructing them to walk worthy to the calling which you were called. He's not just writing to fivefold ministers there, he's talking to all Christians there. So every Christian has a specific calling. And now let's look at verse 15, starting at the very end of it. It says, him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I'm going to read that last section, according to the effective working which every part does its share, causes growth of the body. So when every member of the church fulfills our calling, when we're all doing our part, it's going to cause growth in the body. And we've already begun to see that here. As different people have begun to step up and say, man, I want to help out in this area. I want to do that. There's a need here. Let me fill in that area. As we've seen different people step in and step up to do that, that it then expands and grows the church. Man, it's awesome to see. Like, I love having testimonies like the one that Marika shared, and I could pick on any number of you guys that would share something similar, where you've come and you said, how can we help? And as you do that, and as that's your attitude, God is going to bless you, and he's going to cause the church to grow. Hallelujah. So that was the result of the members being used, is that when everybody in the church does what it's supposed to do according to its purpose or calling, it causes growth in the body of Christ, and then you also will be fulfilled. You'll feel fulfilled. You'll feel like, man, I'm doing what Jesus has called me to do. Even if it's starting out in the ministry of helps, and then later on it grows into a bigger vision. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to give you one more quick example. In Acts chapter 18, I'm not going to turn there, but you can read about this. It talks about a man named Priscilla and Aquila. They were tent makers that Paul stayed with while he was in the city of Corinth. And while he was in the city of Corinth, he worked with them as a tent maker, and they actually allowed him to stay in their house for over a year and a half as he preached there. And then he also goes on to say that you guys risk your necks for my life. That's actually what it says in the Bible, that you risk your life for me. So these people were helping Paul by allowing him to stay in their home and allowing him to preach. That's being in the helps ministry. I'm not just limiting helps to just what you do here Sunday morning, but helping a ministry advance is being in the helps ministry. And so Priscilla and Aquila, they were helping him. And then later on, it says that when he was writing his farewell address in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it says, Priscilla and Aquila and the church that is in their house send greetings to you. So you see that the Lord promoted them from just allowing Paul to stay with them to then having a church inside of their home. So God will use you where you're at today. If you don't know what you're supposed to do, don't worry about it. Just keep being faithful with where God has called you to be today, and you'll see that He will bring promotion to you. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have a specific plan for each and every single one of us. And Lord, that as we seek You, as we seek Your heart, Lord, I pray that You would just reveal to us what it is that You would have us to do, both in our lives personally and in the ministry. How would You have us help in this local church? How would You have us expand Your kingdom? What area have You called me to do? Lord, I just ask that You give these answers to each and every single one of us. I thank You for the people that have already begun to step up and answer the call that You've placed in their lives. And that as they have done that, that You begin to bring promotion. As they prove themselves faithful, that they see blessing coming into their life. Hallelujah. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. You know, real quick, as I was sharing that message, maybe you're here in this place and you were thinking, man, I love the idea of helping out in a ministry, but I feel like my heart's not even right with God. You might be here this morning and you feel like there's something that is leaping on the inside of me saying that I want to have that real experience that you were talking about with Jesus, having a real encounter with Him so that I get to know Him. You know, as God has such great plans for you, but He can't actually begin to give you those plans for your life until you are firmly committed to Him. So I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to make sure that every single one of you are firmly committed to Jesus and to His plan. You might be in this place this morning and you've never made a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Heaven is real and hell is real, and it is for eternity. So this is an eternal decision that we make. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you today. If you're here in this place, and at one point in your life, you were serving God, you loved Him. You went to church. God had your heart. But then situations happened in your life that have pulled you away from Jesus and His kingdom. You've lost the joy of your salvation, where you don't even feel like going to church anymore. I want to tell you that God, just because you've drifted away, has never stopped loving you. And His plans are with you still and for you still. God's plans for your life never change. And it's the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. So this morning, Jesus wants to show you just how good He is. And there's one last group of people that I want to give this opportunity to, is that you're here today and you've been going to church, you've prayed to receive Jesus in your heart, but for some reason you just feel like you're not sure about your salvation. And you just want to make sure. You need to know that if today I were to die, would I go into heaven? I want to be able to pray with you this morning. So if you fit into any one of these three categories, with every eye closed, every head bowed, I'm going to give you the opportunity to pray with you. Whether if you're making the decision for the first time to receive Jesus in your life, or whether you just need to recommit and give God your all again because you're not right with God. Or number three, you just need to make sure. I want to pray with you. So if that's you, would you just slip up your hand right now? Thank you. See your hand. Is there anyone else? If you know that you need to get right with God, today is the day. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes to repentance. There's no pressure here, but if you know that as I'm speaking, your heart is beating fast and that you need to get right with God, I want to pray for you. So I'm going to ask one more time, if that's you, just slip up your hand. So here's what we're going to do. You can look up, and if you raise your hand, I'm just going to ask you to come down front. Give him a hand as he comes. This is a big decision to make. That's right. Good to see you, brother. Just lift your hands to heaven. Just lift your hands. Say this prayer. Dear Jesus, I give my life to you completely. I surrender my all to you. I'll never go back. From this day forward, my life will never be the same again. I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, that your blood was shed for me. And I ask you to forgive me now. And he does. He forgives you. That's his presence touching you. That's the presence of Jesus. He's filling you up. Hallelujah. That's his presence. Thank you, Jesus. He says, come under me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. And you've had a heavy burden on your back, and he's lifting it off of you right now. He's taking that burden. Thank you, Jesus. Curiando rabacasiando rabacasiando rabacite. Curiando rabacasiando rabacite. Curiando rabacasiando rabacite. Lord, I pray that you just seal him now, that you strengthen him in his inner man. I thank you for the special calling and purposes that you have for his life, and that his life is not wasted in Jesus' name, but that you have a purpose for him, that he wants to use you, Daniel. Lord, I ask that you restore the years that the enemy has taken from him. I come against every attack of the enemy against your life. I break off any habits of sin in the name of Jesus. I thank you that Daniel is a vessel, that he is your vessel, Lord, a vessel unto honor, that you have plans and purposes for him. Hallelujah. God's so good, isn't he? Yeah. He's good, huh? Give me a hug, brother. God is good, amen. Hallelujah. All of heaven rejoices over one person that comes to God. I thank you, heaven. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness, Lord, and for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Man, God is so good. You'll never be the same again. Whew, it's a new day for you. Man, that just touches my heart. I actually grew up with Daniel. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to share this message briefly with you. Second Kings 4, verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there and turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? This lady here, she sees this man of God continually coming by her house and kept offering him meals to take care of him, right? But she didn't stop there. She actually made a considerable investment to build an addition onto her house, a room on the side of her house, so that he could have a place to stay that when he came. A place where he could sleep. It said that he had a chair and a lampstand. Man, those were like pretty nice upgrades back in the day. But so this lady goes out of her way. I mean, she didn't have to do that, right? She could have just kept inviting him over for dinner and that would have been wonderful, right? I mean, isn't that great? Great to have a nice hot meal prepared for you at home and when you didn't even need that. But she goes out of her way to then pay for out of her money to build this room, this addition to her house, just to take care of this. And then what happens? He is so blessed by this woman that he comes up and he wants to know, how can I bless her? How can I take care of her? And the story goes on that she actually felt like she had what she needed in life. So he asked, well, does she have a child? And the answer was no. So he prays for her, or he says, next year this time you'll have a child. And so she gives birth to a son, and a few years later the son actually died. So she said, because originally when she said that no, this couldn't be so, you'd be deceiving me. So now that the son died, she comes back to him and says, I told you not to deceive me, and my son has died. And then he comes back. He actually sends first his servant to go pray for him by laying his staff upon the dead boy, and nothing happened. So then he goes with the woman because she refused to leave him. The Shunammite woman said, I'm not going to leave you until you come. So she took him and went back to her house, and he laid on the boy and he rose from the dead. It was a powerful miracle. But what inspired that miracle? First for the boy to be born, and then for the boy to be raised back from life. And isn't it just how things sometimes happen where when the Lord, it seems like the Lord did something from you, and then it feels like it was taken away, and then it couldn't have been the Lord's will, right? Like the Lord caused this woman to supernaturally give birth to this child because she hadn't been able to, and then the boy died. And it feels like sometimes when the Lord gives us something, then the Lord takes it away. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, right? But that was obviously never God's plan, because otherwise God wouldn't have caused breath to come back into that little boy's life, right? So sometimes just because circumstances happen in our life that contradict God's word doesn't mean that you have to accept them as that being God's will. That woman could have said, well, it must not have been the Lord's will. I said right from the beginning that this couldn't be so. And so obviously my boy has died. But no, she went and got him and wouldn't leave him go, let him go until he came back. But that whole miracle of her even having the child was brought about because she built this addition onto her house. So how does that relate to today? When you decide to be a help in a ministry, and even spend your resources, your time, your effort, your money to see that ministry established and just to be a blessing to that ministry, it does something for you. Number one, it brings favor from the Lord to you. You know, by the measure that we give out will be given back to, right? That's what Jesus said. And in Proverbs chapter 11, I think it's verse 25 or something, it says that he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That's what this lady was doing, was providing refreshing to this man, this minister, and then therefore was herself being refreshed. So when you decide to become a blessing to a minister, to a ministry, and you start going above and beyond, because wouldn't you agree that building an addition on the side of your house to take care of a minister is going above and beyond? I mean, she could have just put him up in the O'Connell Lodge, right? But no, I mean, she actually, if any of you guys have been to the O'Connell Lodge in Brockport, you'll know why that's funny. But she decided to go above and beyond and build this addition on the side of her house so that he could stay there. And so, every time that he was staying there, what did he think about? Man, look what this lady did for me. And I'm telling you that it works the same thing today. The same thing will work. If you'll go out of your way to do something for a ministry, to do something for a minister, well then, when they think about that thing, who are they going to think about? You, right? I mean, when I think about this watch that was just given to me, I think about the person that gave it to me, and then I pray for that person. Lord, thank you for this watch. I pray that you bless this person abundantly. Someone in the church here actually came up to my wife and I and said that I don't want you to pay for your own gas, and for quite some time now has been paying for our gas. So when I'm at the gas station filling my car with gas, who do you think I'm thinking about? Who do you think I'm praying about? My dad here this morning and my mom, they came to my house because we needed a little help with Zara this morning. And so my dad did the dishes for me that were in the sink, right? I'm the one that normally does the dishes in our house. So when I get home from church today and I don't have to do dishes, who do you think I'm going to think about? And who do you think I'm going to pray for? I'm telling you that if you'll take this principle of what the Shunammite woman did and you'll see to advance another person's life and advance a ministry and a minister, well then when that person sees what you've done for them, they're not just going to think about you, they're going to pray for you. If they're actually a godly person, they're going to say, Lord, I thank you for this blessing that brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so has given me. I pray that you bring back a mighty harvest for them. And so even as you're putting your offerings into the offering plate this morning, you're expanding the capability of this ministry. And guess who's going to be praying for you guys? Me. I'm going to be praying that God blesses you so radically that prosperity, whether you like it or not, is going to come upon you. That you will be blessed in Jesus' name. And so, as you go out of your way, because that's what you're doing when you give an offering, you don't have to give here. This is not a forced giving. But when you go out of your way to take from your time, your effort, and put your finances into God's kingdom and into this ministry, I promise you that I am praying for you guys during the week. Lord, I pray that you bless them, that you multiply them, that you bring increase to them, that you bring promotion to them, that you bring pay raise to them, that you bring unexpected checks to them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? So this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to give. And when you give, you can give with a glad heart because you know that God is going to bring back a harvest to you. You can give online at riverrochester.com/give. You can write a check to the River at Rochester Church, or you can fill out the envelope if you're giving with cash. And so when we give, man, this is like super exciting Because I'm praying for you guys. I'm thinking about how can I bless them? I'm thinking about what can I give, what can I do for this person? And notice that the thing that she gave was a material thing, but then she got back spiritual blessing and also a child added to her family, which really was a spiritual matter. Because there's no doctor that could have done that for her. It was God providing a miracle for her that no amount of money ever could have done. So as you're giving, you're unlocking the blessing of God on your life so that He can do things in your life that money couldn't even do for you. So when you give, it's not that you're just giving and then hoping that, you know, you're going to receive a check back in the mail, but you're actually going to receive even greater blessings from that. Impossible things that God is only able to do will begin to happen in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your offering, let's take it out and I'm going to pray over it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every seed that is sown here this morning. I thank you that just like the Shunammite woman, when she went out of her way to advance another person's ministry, that you went out of your way to advance her life, to bring her a child, to bring her a miracle. I thank you that this is a week of miracles. I thank you that this is a week of supernatural provision and blessing on the members of this church. I thank you that everyone that gives here this morning will receive a multiplication and harvest for the seed that is sown in Jesus' name. I thank you for unexpected miracles, unexpected provision, unexpected promotion this week in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.